Certainly good to be with y'all here at Camp Creek again. Don't feel like it was that long ago. I guess it was in April, I think, maybe. Or maybe March. I can't remember. It was Brother John and Sister, I think it was their anniversary. So, okay. Well, definitely glad to be here. Appreciate that wonderful prayer. I think it will actually tie really well with what's on my mind this morning. It's been a very interesting couple of weeks on my end there in Alabama. And I'll just share a little bit of that with you, and maybe you'll understand why maybe some of the thoughts that are on my mind are there this morning. I bought a house 2 weeks ago, and that was a major step in mine and Sammy's life. And she hates that she couldn't be here. She's at a work retreat this weekend. And so after buying the house a couple of weeks ago, we started building back earlier this year, and we moved in and closed, and they were right. Signing those papers is a headache, and I didn't enjoy that by any means, but it was a good experience, and the Lord is certainly blessed. And I do beg an interest in your prayers, because though we closed on the house, just Thursday of this week, my wife totaled her car. She had a wreck, and she is okay, and that's all that really matters. But I'm sure she was upset, and I guess that, you know, I think a lot of things kind of flashed before my eyes, is that at that point in time, the only thing I was worried about was her. And then, yes, sometime after that, I worried, oh, goodness, she's going to need a car, and we just bought a house. And so all these feelings and emotions start running through my brain, and I call Dad, and Dad's like, well, you know, that's life. And I'm like, thanks, Dad. And he did comfort me. I'll say that a little funny, but he did comfort me. And I called my brother-in-law, y'all know Brother Adam, and he's like, well, you know, Derek, he says, that's just the way things happen sometimes. About a month ago, his car had all this issues, you know, hundreds of dollars of issues. And he says they turn around, and then the washer and the dryer broke. And then this was all within a three-week time span. And then something happened with their landscaping. I think they just did all this landscaping work because they had standing water and potential foundational could hurt the foundation of the house. And he just told me, he says, you just learn to keep the wheel turning. You just adjust and move on. And I was like, okay, I can get used to this maybe. And so a lot of emotions and feelings on my end. And I do, again, beg an interest in your prayers, because all of this is going on. And about a month ago, the church at Jasper called for my ordination. And so I'll be ordained probably later this year sometime. We'll settle on a date. So lots of things are happening in my life right now. And do I have all the answers? No. Do any of us always have the answers or a plan for all? You know, we think, I know me as an engineer, I think I can plan out every aspect of my life. I had all this money stashed away for furniture and a lawnmower and all this wonderful, I just had all my ducks in a row, and I did a, you know, car crash on Thursday, and I'm like, well, I guess all those plans, you know, no new furniture, going to stick with the futon for a couple of more months. And which my wife hates, by the way. She hates that thing. But you know what? It works. That's all I can say. It works. And if I'm in the doghouse, it don't sleep too bad. I hope she knows. If she listens to this, she's going to hate me. This morning, the things that are on my mind, I was driving this morning over here, and again, with all the things that have been going on in, over there in Alabama, I remember the first time I came here to speak, and that was about sometime in October, I believe it was, it was sometime in 2011 when y'all have y'all's meeting, and I think it was Brother Brantley was here from South Georgia, or Central Georgia, and I came here that night, and I spoke on, or attempted to speak on, gospel power. And since then, you know, I do believe that the in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, 15 and 16, Paul says, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And he says there that for, I'm going to have to go read it. He says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And for many years, I've put a lot of focus on how if we dig into God's word and if we focus on it and we really try to apply it to our lives, it is a great, powerful tool to the believer in Christ. And I remember trying to speak on that. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in there you'll understand, see there that the preaching of to the cross, that to them that perish is foolishness, but to them that are saved, it is the power of God. And we read those things and we understand that why is the gospel power to me and you who are children of God? We understand very clearly that by following and heeding to the commandments of God, that it can save us from a lot of trials and troubles and pain and heartache while we live here. And as I thought about, you know, those things that I said that night here several years ago and some of the things that I've preached elsewhere, I found something even more powerful in God's word. And I'm very thankful that the message of God is still powerful in the manner that it delivered it to me. And now I want to attempt to try to deliver it to you this morning. One of the things that the Apostle Paul will talk about in Galatians is he says, do we persuade men do we seek to please men or please God? And he says we actually also in Galatians, I'm going to have to read that verse as well, because I think I'm getting them two verses mixed up. In Galatians chapter 1. Excuse me. It says, verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. One thing that I want to attempt to try to do this morning is persuade you of something that is a very powerful message that is in John chapter 14. And you can turn in your Bibles there, and we're going to be there but through John chapter 14 and 15 and a little bit of 16. And as I read this, I'm going to set the stage for you about what's kind of going on in these verses. And I don't think I ever discovered it before in reading these texts. I don't think that I ever realized just how close, you know, the John 15, where he talks about I am the vine, ye are the branches, and those types of things. I did not realize how close it was to the time of Jesus' death that he's preaching these things to his disciples. And so here Jesus is talking to them in John chapter 14. He's sitting there. Thomas asks him a question. He says, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father but by me. So they're asking him all these last questions. And all this time, Jesus is attempting to explain to them that I'm about to die, or I'm about to go to the Father. And they're wondering, you're going to die, you're going to go to the Father. And then he said, then they ask him here also in the scriptures, he says, for a little while I'm going to be with you, and then a little while I'm going to be away from you, but then I'm going to come back, and just for a little while I'm going to be back with you, and then I'm going to go. And of course, that's the point where he ascends to go home with to be in heaven and sit on the right hand of the throne of God. And so as he's telling all of his disciples these things, they're like, I want you to ask yourself or put yourself maybe in their position just for a minute. Maybe you're there, you're listening, you're talking to Jesus, and he's saying all these things. I mean, I can imagine myself being there, and I'm going to sit there and throw my hands up and say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? He's trying to tell them that he's about to die, and that he's going to be in the heart of the earth. As Noah was in the belly of a whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days, three nights. And they're listening to all this, and they're like, I don't understand. So Judas comes. So here first few verses here that I'll read, I'm going to start in John 14 and 15. He's telling them, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yea, a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And the disciples are sitting here listening to this as they're saying, a little while I'm going to be with you anymore. What are you talking about? You're going to be in me and I with you. What's this comforter thing you're talking about? What are you talking about, Jesus? You're saying you're going to leave, but this comforter, this idea of what's coming to me, I don't know. So Judas, not Iscariot, but Judas is about to ask a very powerful question. And I want this to kind of sink in with you for just a minute at how powerful this question is. He says, Judas saith unto him, verse 22, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? I want you to think about that. Judas, not Iscariot, just another one of the disciples, says, how are you going to manifest yourself? Manifest simply means to reveal. How are you going to reveal yourself to us, but you're not going to reveal yourself to the rest of the world? How is that going to even be possible? And all this while you're telling me you're not even going to be here. So how can you be here, but you're not here? You're going away. How are you going to reveal yourself to us? That's a very powerful message. That's a very powerful question. So Jesus is going to begin to explain how exactly he's going to manifest himself to us and not to the rest of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Wow. Wow. How many times, I don't know about you, but I can talk about myself and especially my most recent experiences. But I can tell you, I am very thankful that the Lord is going to send me a comforter that's going to teach me all things that I need to know. And it's going to recall to remembrance all the sayings of God's Word. So I want you to ask yourself, I'm going to assume, and if you haven't been baptized this morning and committed your life to Christ and following after Him, if you are a child of God, that is the first thing you ought to do. But I just want you to understand, if you are a child of God, you have the comforter within you. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. And I can personally, speaking on my personal experience, I can't explain that. I can't sit here and tell you the time that I was born again. And I can't necessarily tell you why I feel what I feel in my heart. And I could probably ask any of you here, you know, why do you believe in this God? Why do you believe in this Jesus Christ? And the only answer that I assume you could come up with is that there is something going on inside your heart that you can't explain, but you know it is there with every fiber of your being. And that is the Comforter that is teaching you all things. And so when we think about this, you think about Nicodemus. So thinking about being born again, let's just pause for a minute and think about this experience. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 came to him by night and said, no man could do these things that thou doest except God be with him. Okay? And so Jesus begins to minister unto Nicodemus and trying to tell him that the reason you believe these things, the reason you feel these things in your heart, is because you've been born again. He says, marvel not that I say unto you, you have to be born again. He says in John chapter 3, marvel not that I say in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and no one can tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. I would ask each and every one of you today to really consider what God has done within your heart. If you know He is there, then it is time for us to realize that's the Comforter and that's who we latch a hold of each and every day. So as the stage is being set here, and He says He's going to teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you, verse 27 of John 14, He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How many times can you say in your life that you've been afraid? If you don't want to raise your hand, I'll raise my hand. Thursday morning, about 10 a.m. Central Time, I was afraid. I've never gotten a phone call from my wife where she's just crying. And I couldn't explain. I didn't know what. All I heard at first was something mumbling, and then I heard wreck. And I said, okay, are you okay? And I'm driving down I-65 in central Alabama, and I'm just doing this. I mean, I'm shaking at the wheel, and it's raining on top of that. Speed limit's like maybe 60, 70, something like that. I'm like going 50. Okay, I'm barely going all the way in the slow. I'm scared out of my mind. And it's at times like that that you have to remember that God promised that He was going to send you and me a comforter. I don't know what kind of troubles and trials it may be in your life. I don't know what kind of discouragement may be in your life. For these disciples, setting the stage, Jesus is about to depart. They're not going to be with Him anymore. And they said, How are you, Jesus, going to manifest yourself to us, but not to the rest of the world? And I think it's very important for us to realize that God, when He chose a people, elected a people, He made you a very special people, and you were the only ones that He manifests Himself to. Only ones. He says He's not going to reveal Himself to the rest of the world, but to each and every one of you, He's revealed Himself. And I want you to understand how powerful that is. Over in Romans chapter 3, we'll go over there and read just briefly about the new birth. We'll understand, I'm going to grab a verse, but kind of keeping in theme with this new birth idea. Over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, we read of the fruits of the Spirit. Faith, love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance. The ninefold fruits of the Spirit. One of the things that God gives us is faith in the new birth. And here, I want you to understand, again, I'm talking about a comforter that has come into your heart. The Bible also records for us that the kingdom of God dwells within you. Okay? So it's within you. So here in Romans 3, we'll start verse 22. It says, even the righteousness of God, well, it's not good for me to start there. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. How is it manifested? It's revealed. The righteousness of God without the law. So the righteousness of God without the law is His death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? That's the message that Paul came preaching, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's now revealed to me and you. It's revealed to us also in the new birth without the law service being attached to it. And even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. That righteousness of Jesus Christ has been revealed, manifested to us. And it's the faith of Jesus Christ, or His the faithful work of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins for that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, there's a lot of preaching I could do on those few verses right there. I probably got two sermons in those alone, but I'm going to just grab one thing. God had faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why you and I have faith. It's because God had faith. And you know what? The same faith that God had is what's dwelling within you. That same powerful thing that God, the powerfulness of faith that God has, is the same faith that is delivered to you and me. The same forbearance, the temperance that we get is another fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering. Can you imagine how long-suffering God must have been? Or God is still long-suffering. Not has, but is still long-suffering for all the things that we've done. It dwells within each and every one of us. And you know what? The same love that God has given us, or the same love that God had toward us, is the same love that we have in us if we will just use it. We must exercise that same love. And that's a powerful thing. He promised those disciples, yes, I'm going away, but there's a comforter that's going to come. And He's going to dwell with you, dwell within you, and you have to use it. Why would He say, and why am I saying you have to use it? Because here in John chapter 15, in the next several verses, He's going to talk about how He wants us to dwell together. Now, I'm not about to start off on this whole it's a relationship kind of thing and what these modern folks teach about, oh, it's always a relationship. No, it's much more than that. This is a marriage. I'm married a year and some change now. And when I think about my marriage to my wife, and I think about the marriage between Christ Jesus and His church, I tell you, He is a very jealous God. He is a very jealous husband, and He wants us to be submissive to Him and is subject to Him. And it's a very powerful thing that I have thought about over the last year as I've understood a little differently this covenant that we have with Jesus Christ. And it's much more than just a relationship. It's more intimate. It's more personal than that, because God, before the foundation of the world, says, I loved a people, and this people is going to be a special people unto me. And you know what? Those are the people that I'm going to send my comforter to, and I want them to dwell with me. Because one of these days I'm coming back and I'm going to get them, and they're going to be home with me in glory, and they're going to be mine and inherit, and they're going to inherit all that is mine, and we're going to dwell in glory forever. That's a powerful message. And I tell you, this world, all the things that we see today, the news, I'm sorry, and I hope this is not too blunt, but I'll tell you, the things that I see about people who do not have any emotion whatsoever about the selling of baby parts. Sorry, was that a little too clear? I'm sorry. The people who have no emotions about selling baby parts, and how all they want is the highest, is we're selling it to the highest bidder so I can get a Lamborghini or whatever else is going on. I tell you, in times when I see that stuff, I need a comforter. I need to know that it's not over. God's not done with me yet. God's not done with His church yet. When I see all the wars and all the fightings and the lying and all the corrupt that is around us, I need a comforter. When I'm in the darkest times of my life where I'm distressed, where I'm just praying that there's nothing severely wrong with my wife. I tell you, we took her to the doctor on Thursday and there was nothing wrong. I thank God for that. It was just by a miracle. I mean, it's an old car and, you know, it's fine. We'll replace it. It doesn't matter about that. But I tell you, all I wanted to know was that my wife was okay. And I tell you, I can latch a hold of a comforter that's going to teach me in all things. Anything that I have in need of. Now, He's not going to, again, I got to make sure I state this correct. He's not going to teach you in all the things or give you all the things that you want. Okay? He's going to give you all the things that you need. And I tell you, when I've looked back, you know, I look back on the things that the Bible says that I'm to be content with, food and raiment. And then I look at how blessed be well beyond food and raiment. You know, you think about the old days, some people only had one, two, three things, you know, to wear or garments to wear. If you walked into my closet, probably my wife's closet, it's just full, okay? We went and got from an apartment to a big closet, and I thought, oh, surely we're not going to fill this thing up. Oh, yeah, we did. And, you know, it's just amazing how blessed we are. Bought a refrigerator here recently. And I was like, man, we'll never be able to stock this thing. It's stocked. I don't have it. And y'all probably can tell. I mean, I never need, you know, I'm full. I'm good. And not only do I have enough for me, when my brother-in-law yesterday came over to help me hang a couple of blinds, I fed him. You know, he was all okay. Sometimes we just have to get a new perspective on things. So here he goes on to say about in John chapter 15, he says he's going to send this comforter. And it's so much important that we dwell with this comforter. We sing the song, Abide With Me. We sing that song, y'all may have sung it here on the time. You know, we sing it at singing school. And it's usually when I hear that's not a regular number we get, they call out at my home church. But, and, you know, we sing the song, Abide With Me. That's what John 15 is talking about. He says, I've promised you a comforter, and now I want you to abide with it, day in, day out. And he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And I'm not talking about he taketh away in the sense of, I'm not saying you can lose eternal salvation with all this. This is not what this is talking about. He says, you, child of God, I'm going to send you a comforter. I want you to abide with me so that you bear fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, then I'm just, you know, you've walked away from me. And you may walk so far away from me that Jesus does exactly, in this context of this scripture, what he did to King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar got lifted up with pride, did he not? He says, look at in this great Babylon that I've built. And so Jesus said, or God said, you know what? No, you didn't. You didn't build any of that. So he turned him over to a reprobate mind for a period of 7 years, where his hair had grown out, nails grown out as eagle claws. Until that day, and I'm going to have to go over there, and I believe it's in Daniel, if I can find it really quick. Daniel verse chapter 4 and verse 35. King Nebuchadnezzar would turn and say, verse 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? The same thing that we want to prevent happening to us is what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar, where we separate ourselves from the fellowship of God. So His commandment to us today is, I've given you a comforter. Now I want you to abide with it. And He tells them here in verse 3 of John 15, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye abide in me. He's saying you can't bear fruit unless you're abiding with God, with Him. So unless you're latching a hold of that comforter, you cannot bear the fruit that we need to bear each and every day. So the promise is to have the that He said He promised us a comforter. The next thing that He wants us to do is, if we love Him, keep His commandments, abide with Him, fellowship with Him. The Bible tells us over in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, verse 18, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I'm convinced that that's not only on 30-minute song service on Sunday morning. Okay? You don't just need to sing at singing school. You don't just need to sing 30 minutes on Sunday morning. When you're driving to work in the morning, sing if you want to sing. The Bible records for us over in James chapter 5. He says, if you be merry, if any among you be afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. If you're happy today, I'm telling you, I love nothing more than this morning. Just driving over, I was just singing. Turn the radio off. I don't need to listen to whatever's on the radio. I haven't listened to it in quite a while now. I got too much good stuff from singing school and other things on my phone now that I listen to that kind of stuff because I want to dwell with the Comforter. There's too many times today I look at all across the things with churches. I see people walking away from the Comforter. They're tired. Oh, it's an outdated book. That old gospel. It's not old. The promises are still true today. He says over there that, you know, what is it? Over in 2 Timothy, he says, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Do you look around and see the perilous times and are you shocked? I hope not. The Bible's true today. Those perilous times are around us now. Things that were kept in closets all these years are now, people are out of those closets. And I'm saying that in a very, I think most of y'all probably caught what I meant for the sake of maybe some young ones here. Those kinds of things are going on. I work with a boss who's a homosexual. And he's very open about it. Every day at work, I need a comforter. I don't have to say anything to him, and he doesn't say anything to me. We have a very respectful relationship. But you know, to guard my mind from that, and even looking upon that, I need a comforter. I need to abide in Jesus Christ. I need to abide in the vine. You ever watch television and see some of the commercials these days? I wish all of you would go back to maybe like YouTube would be a good place to go for an example, not for the other things that are on YouTube. But go to YouTube and look at maybe some old TV shows. And actually, you may can look up some other things that would be beneficial. But years ago, they didn't have commercials like they have today. And I'm watching TV and I'm just like, what am I? I'm just shocked at what I see on TV and what's parading around my eyes. I have to guard my eyes. Guard what I'm looking upon. Guard what I'm reading. Guard what I'm listening to. Because I want to abide in the vine. I want to be with the Comforter. Because you know what? All the things that I need in this life, the Comforter is going to teach me. He said He's going to teach us in all things. All things that we need while we live here on this earth, the Comforter is going to bring it to us. And I'm not saying you don't need an education, those types of things. I'm not talking about those types of things. I'm saying, I don't need to go down to the local Barnes & Noble and get a self-help book on how to raise my children one of these days. I got a Bible that tells me exactly what I need to do. I just need to do what it tells me to do. Husbands, I won't say now that I'm married, I can speak a little bit about this. I don't have the experience some of y'all do, but I can speak a little bit about it. Husbands, the Bible says, love your wives as how Christ loved the church. How are you going to do that? By you submitting to your authority, Jesus Christ, because He is our head. If you're wondering why your wife isn't not doing some things, well, maybe you're not loving her the right way, brother. I've had to realize that. I told my wife, I said, you know what? I realize now after a year of marriage, I told her this on our honey, not honeymoon, our 1 year anniversary. I told her, I said, I did not realize a year ago what I know today, and that just how hard it is for me sometimes to give myself over to Jesus Christ, to love you the way I'm supposed to love you. Because you know, I mean, we every day we battle it. We battle the flesh every day. It's hard. But you know what? When I'm dwelling with a comforter, when I'm dwelling in the Holy Spirit, I know that I will be successful. Why? And did you catch what I said? I know. Not I think. Not maybe. I know. Why do I know it? Because I'm taught of it by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You and I have a Spirit that is dwelling within us of truth. Now, I don't have time this morning. The time would run out before I could get through all this. But I think about that section of Scriptures in John 18 where Jesus is standing before Pilate. And he says that I came into the world to bear witness of the truth. And Pilate would reply to him and says, what is truth? I tell you, the Spirit of truth is dwelling within us and it's revealing to us the truth. How did sin enter into this world to start with? Started by lying, right? And then it's all around us. You can't even do business at the local mechanic shop without fear that the guy's lying to you about your transmission, your battery, or your engine, or this, that, and the other. Because, and by the way, the reason I know this, I got a cousin who's a mechanic. He's out of the business now. Because he says, I couldn't go to church on Sunday morning and treat people the way they're asking us to treat people. It's all around us. Corruption. Lies. I want the Spirit of truth that's going to teach me how to act, how to behave, and how to be a servant to not only my Jesus Christ and the Father, but also to my family, my brothers and sisters, to the church, in the workplace. I'll tell you, they teach this thing called ethics in colleges, and maybe it's in high school these days, I don't know. I've heard, being ethical in your daily work, well, or daily, I guess, job, or just the way you carry yourself with your business. I'll tell you, ethics is good. But if it compromises my moral obligations to God's Word, which one do you think I'm going to choose? God's Word. Okay? Because I'm responsible to dwell with a comforter. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You can do nothing. I want you to picture yourself this afternoon when you go home and you're at home with your families. I want you to picture your life with Christ and then try to imagine your life without Christ. It may be a little hard for some of you to do because maybe you've been in the church all your life. I can tell you personal experience, I was at a point in college where I was very far from God spiritually. I may be in the pew on Sunday morning and I may be going to church like everyone else here, but my mind wasn't there. My heart wasn't there. And my spirit wasn't there. And I tell you, it's a very miserable place to be. It's very hard for me to sit in church during a 3-day meeting when I was in that state. And I'm sitting here watching the brother or the sister next to me. And they're crying, filled with the Spirit of God. And I'm just looking at them like, what's wrong with you? That's how far I was. It's a miserable thing. Abide in the vine. We're commanded to abide in the vine and bear fruit. Verse 12, John 15, we'll try to get a few more of these things. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I tell you, there are times when, I had somebody a couple years ago read that verse to me, and another one, I think, from the Psalms, might have been the Psalm, may have been the Proverbs. I can't remember off the top of my head. And they said, "You mean if I just do these things right now, that the Lord's just going to give me whatever I want?" No. I don't know where people get that kind of thinking. That's not what God's word promises. He says, "Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." I tell you, anything that he's going to give to you has to be in accordance with his word. Just because I pray really hard for a new car that somebody might give to me, there's some hints going out that way. He's not going to do that. Because right now, you know what I could do for the next several months? Get up really early, drive my wife to work, and then I'll get off work early, and then I'll just go pick her up, and we could live that way very comfortable for a while. Why? Because I already have more than I really need. I got one car still running. You know what? Still more than I need. And the Lord's blessed me. You know that car that's sitting out there? Young men, I want you to, this is a lesson for you. You get a car, same car I was given when I was 16. And I've taken very good care of it. Had a bump or two. Not maybe like, I think it was one was a parking lot. That was it. Crazy. Anyways, memories. But I've taken very good care of it. And why? Because I didn't pay for it. My parents gave that to me. And I still won't ever forget the few words my dad told me when he handed me the keys. That was 12 years ago. He handed me the keys and he says, "You wreck it, I ain't getting another one." He says, "You wreck it, you're paying for the next one." And he says, "So, good luck." I said, "Thanks." It's kind of a common theme in my household, just good luck, you know. I got done with, it's kind of a side note, got done with college, and my dad said, "Well, guess you're a man now." About 2 weeks later, he signed off every single paper, bill, and everything that I had. He's like, "Here you go, have fun." You know, and just wish, you know, and I started paying for it all. And I realized those are the things that I remember, because since that day in May 2010, the Lord's still giving me more than what I deserve. And it's because, you know, and when I look at this message, that think about what Judas said to, not Iscariot, but Judas said to him, says, "How will thou, Jesus, manifest to us, but not the world?" It took me a long time to realize that just the powerful question itself, that God promised Judas, "I'm going to send you a comforter." And then when I look out on the rest of the world, when God tells us that we are supposed to be a peculiar people, we are a peculiar people. Why? Because we have a comforter. They do not. They do not. And if you're not jumping out of your seat right now, personally, I know you're physically still sitting, it's okay. But if you don't imagine just how special that really is, that is amazing. You know, for years in the Primitive Baptist, I hear the message of grace. Heard it all my life. God chose a people. He elected a people. But I really never, and you hear, maybe you just hear it so often that maybe you become a little numb to it. Because you maybe forget how to rejoice in that message. I think recently I've learned how to rejoice in that message a little bit more than maybe I have. I'm not saying I've never rejoiced in that message. I'm saying I'm just rejoicing more today than I have in the past. It's very special. Because then Jesus is about to say, now again, Jesus is still answering the question, by the way. He hasn't stopped. He said, "I'm going to give you a comforter. He's going to teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I've spoken to you, the disciples." He said, "I want you to abide in me. Love me. If you love me, keep my commandments." Then he comes down here and starts in verse 18. And he starts to kind of shift gears just a little bit. He says, "Because you abide in me and because I've sent you a comforter, you're going to be persecuted. If the world hates you," it's the way it starts out. "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." You know what? That's still comfort to me. When I see people who put me down, or may put you down. If you're at school and people see there's something different about you, there's something special about you guys, or any of you at the workplace, if people acknowledge that there's something different about you and they may be jealous, they may put you down, why do you go to church? I got coworkers. I told them I was coming to Atlanta twice this month. Be here this Sunday. A couple weeks I'll be over at Bethany. He's like, why are you going to all these churches all the time? Because I'm serving my God. That's the end of the discussion. And that's the answer for each and every one of you. You've been given a comforter. You're serving the comforter. You're latching a hold of the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us to lay hold on eternal life. And that doesn't talk about how we can gain eternal life up in heaven. Jesus Christ took care of that. What it's telling us is while we live here on this earth, that we lay hold on it. And when I say lay hold, I always go back to the old example of, you ever been to a rodeo where they had the greased up pig? And then they sent the greased up pig and you had to go catch it and lay hold on it? Or else, you know, it'd skip away. It'd also probably be like trying to catch tadpoles. It's a very hard thing. I couldn't ever catch tadpoles. I was awful at it. A little slippery little thing, right? But see, once you lay hold on it and you get it and you wrap it up just to where you don't let it go, that's what it's talking about. That's the kind of message he says that I want you to understand when you walk away from here today. What I'm trying to persuade you to do is I want you to latch a hold of the Comforter while you live on this earth. That's why we can understand when people die and people pass away from this world. I'm sorrowful, but I don't sorrow as those that have no hope. We've heard that message preached several times at funerals. I don't sorrow as those that have no hope because I believe in a God who's taught me all things of what I have in my heart. Yes, they may have departed for a while. I hated to lose my granddaddy in the summer of 2005 when I graduated high school because he never would get to see me go through college and be with me and be with my grandmother who's suffering with cancer right now. But you know what? I'm going to see him again one of these days. And I think about all those kids with Planned Parenthood. You know what? I may not have ever met them because they were killed before they were even born. But you know what? I plan on seeing them in heaven one of these days because that's what the Comforter teaches me. What does the Comforter teach you? What is he teaching you today? Set another little picture for you. I have a wonderful place now in the last 2 weeks that I get to call home. It's not an apartment. It's home now to me. And I have this view out the back of my porch, and I have a rocking chair that was built by my aunt and uncle, given to us at the wedding, which I haven't got to use till in the last 2 weeks. And I look out the back of my porch and have a wonderful view of the rolling mountainsides. We kind of have a view lot. And I just sit there and I think. It's my new thinking place where I get to read God's Word and I get to ponder for a little bit. I'm away from the television. I'm away from the sounds. I got birds now. That's a great thing. I get birds, little crickets. It's awesome. And I'm just sitting there thinking because you know what I think about? I ask and pray, God, what are you trying to teach me today in your Word? What are you trying to tell my heart today? If I have an issue, you know, I'm not saying him, my wife, you know, our marriage, we've had some issues. I'm sure I can ask him. I'm sure y'all have had issues, right? But you know what? I ask him, what are you teaching me today? What am I to learn? How can I help this situation? How can I help my wife? Hey, what am I supposed to be learning from her? Because she was put there in my life for a reason too. I sit there and ponder over these things. If the world's hating me and I'm being persecuted, things aren't going my way right now. Think about the disciples. Why is Jesus preaching this message? I'm going to give you two accounts here in the Word of God. I think it's very interesting here. On the road to Emmaus, after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus is on the road to Emmaus and he sees his disciples walking there, but he doesn't reveal himself to them immediately. He waits for a minute. And then, I guess I'll just grab the verses so you know. It's Luke chapter 24. And it says, behold, verse 13, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, or Emmaus, depends on how you pronounce it, which was from Jerusalem about 84 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Wow, at the power of God. That he's walking. These are men that knew him for 3.5 years before his death, walked with him and talked with him. Yet the power of God to hold their eyes to where they could not recognize him. The Bible tells us that the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of these. That's the Proverbs. If you can see God today, if you can hear God's word, that is a special thing. Because you know what? That means God has not withheld himself from you. He's working in you. And it's special. He says the eyes were what were holding, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are said? And they said, and one of them whose name was Cleopas answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He just called Jesus Christ a stranger. Yeah, he did not know him. And he said unto him, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God. Did you catch that? Was a prophet. Was. They completely did not follow through with the things that Jesus Christ had been teaching them. They completely cast him aside. But he says, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he. See, but we trusted. We thought it was him. All these things, you know, but it's almost all this doubt is in their minds. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which had said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it also, even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered all these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Here he spends John chapter 14, 15, and 16 talking about this, and he withholds himself from these men. I want you to understand how special you all are to have the Comforter dwelling in you. And if your eyes have seen that, that is such a powerful, powerful blessing. Because we do not, you know, we don't come here and worship with false hope. We come here, as the song says, with blessed assurance. Our hope goes into the veil above, as Hebrews chapter 6 tells us. And it's an anchor for the soul, which means it stands sure for you and me. In John chapter 15 and verse 26, it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. John 16 and verse 12. Y'all hold your finger there. I want to speak to one thing. Here he would say that ye shall bear witness. If you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, one of the most powerful things that the Apostle Paul said is that ye are our epistle. See, here today in 2015 and for the last 400 years and some change, we've had the Bible in English. The Apostle Paul would go about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, not with written words like we have today. He preached what the Lord had taught him through the revelation of Jesus Christ, as he said there even in Galatians. And he would sit there and preach the message that God or Jesus Christ ministered to him on the road to Damascus. And so when he would go preaching to churches, he would tell them there, and I'm going to go ahead and read it because it's really good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 2, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So if you have a comforter this morning, Apostle Paul just said, you are the epistle that is in our hearts. The Apostle Paul has commended his heart towards you. Brother John, Brother Coy, myself, any other minister that comes here to minister is ministering the epistles and what God has put in their hearts to do to the congregations that they put themselves or that allow them to stand before them. So, in the very next verse in 2 Corinthians 3 and 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. You and myself, Brother John, Brother Coy, this congregation, Church at Jasper, children of God, you will bear witness of that Comforter that God has sent us. We wonder why the churches are dwindling and why certain things are happening politically in this nation. It's because people have quenched the Spirit of God to where they don't allow the Comforter to shine forth. I'm very happy a couple of months, or maybe it was about last year, I think it was last year, where I think it was the churches in Houston where the mayor had said, I want all the churches, all the ministers and the preachers to write their sermons out and send them in, and they have to be approved before you can preach them. Something like that. And all the ministers banded together and said, no, now you're going too far. I love that. I tell you, that was the best thing that I had seen and the biggest example of the Comforter that is still here in this country today. We just have to let it shine forth. We just need to go back over and remember the same sermon that was on the Sermon on the Mount, where he would say, let your light shine before men. A city is not set on a hill and is hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. He says, let your light shine. I want the Comforter of Jesus Christ to shine out of all of God's children. Let it shine. I'll just read the last few verses here in John 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. I wonder what Jesus could have taught us in His Word. What could have been left behind? But you know what? He's given us everything that we need. And He says, right now you can't bear it. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you unto all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. So now you just have to ask yourself, are you heeding to the things that the Comforter is showing you? That's a question that I ponder. Day in and day out. When I'm sitting on my porch rocker, now that I have one, I feel like an old man. And I really do try to look and find things that God's really trying to reveal to me. Because my fear for most of God's children is that they're not looking for the blessings of God. They skip over them so many days. I told a church over at, maybe it was Bethany, I think it was. And I told them there last month that, you know, when we think about blessings, we're thinking about cars and houses and all these big things. And we think about education. We think the big things. Have you ever realized what would happen if you lost your big toe? I broke my pinky toe when I was a kid. That was the worst pain I'd ever felt for about 4 to 5 weeks. Every step I took, I wanted to cry. Just the little things that we need to accept. What about your eyesight? Ever been blind? I haven't, but I mean, I know people who are blind. Brother Silas Ford, you know Brother Silas, his mother's deaf. I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to live a life without just my ears and the ability to hear. Those little bitty follicles they talk about in your ear that are, and those, the eardrum, the little itty bitty microscopic pieces that we can't see. Do we think about how, what a great blessing those little things are? The Comforter can teach you all things. I pray that you will lay hold on that Comforter and love Him and abide with Him. And when the world puts you down, don't worry about it, because we're dwelling with the Spirit of truth. May God bless you. Thank you.